Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you so much. That is just such a high honor for him to say that because he's my favorite preacher in the world. Let's give it up for Pastor Derek and the word that God just speaks through him every week. I'll tell you now, he was about to preach today. If that air didn't come back on, I was out of here. Just kidding. It gets a little hot up here. Good morning again. Happy Mother's Day to you. I have been looking forward to this day for a long time, and it's not just because my husband finally figured out what he's going to make for lunch today, and he's going to grill. Good choice. But because I have a wonderful mother who is here today, Mom, I honor you. I love you. I see you out there. We give it up for Mom. I also have a wonderful mother-in-law. I'm blessed just with a great relationship with her. She is ministering in South Carolina in a service right now as we speak. But I also get to be here with all of you amazing, powerful, anointed, mighty women of God. And that makes me very excited and grateful. So give it up for yourselves. Give it up for the ladies in the room, all the mothers and all the spiritual mothers. Did you tell them what the gift is afterwards? Well, it's chocolate. So just get ready because you're going to be blessed, I promise. With all of that said, though, I want to be aware, and I want to be sensitive that these days are not always ones that we look forward to, and there can be a lot of heartache and grief on these special days as well, whether it's a loss of a child or a mother or any woman of worth in your life. I know that there can be heartache, and I just want to take a minute and speak to those of you today that might find yourself in that position, man or woman. I just felt like the Lord said to tell them that I'm walking with them through that valley. I'm walking with you through that valley, and that he's counting your tears. There's a scripture that says, they that sow in tears will reap a harvest of joy. So I just want to speak joy to you and hope and healing over those hard and hurting places in your heart. Isn't it good to have a God that cares about those places, about all of the details of our lives, the highs and the lows? So thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. Pray with me real quick. Father, we just invite you now. Your Holy Spirit, come and let your word just shine. God, I don't care if I am seen or heard or thought about, but God, let your word go forth with power. Lord, let our hearts be good ground to receive and soil that will produce fruit in our lives and our families, God, for your kingdom. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to take a breath. This is supposed to be him up here. I'm honored to get to speak. I do feel like the Lord has given me something important to say, so that's always good. And since it is Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a day in May, this is the title of my sermon today, A Mother's Day May Day. Everybody say May Day. May Day. Yes. We're talking about May Day. That's, as you know, a cry of distress. Don't get discouraged, okay? It's a cry of distress. We're going to talk about those moments. What are May Day moments? Why do we have May Day moments? And how do we respond to May Day moments? And I'm going to go ahead and spoil the ending right now and let you know that there is one place, one shelter, one high tower for us to run to when mayhem happens. And it is not Allstate. Come on, somebody. You get that. You get that. It's not Allstate. It's the all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful God. Amen. So now I want to just direct your thoughts and your minds to the sky, imagining those planes. We've got a picture of a beautiful sunset. They're a plane. How many of you love to fly in planes? Yes. How many of you are terrified to fly in planes? Yeah. How many of you like to fly drones? That's totally different, right? There we go. I know we have a few pilots in the house today. You guys be gracious to me as I talk aircraft talk, okay? I would appreciate that. Whether you like flying or not, I think something we all can agree on is the fact that it is our worst nightmare to be on a flight and hear that something is wrong. You know, when you hit that patch of turbulence and the plane just dips, that's terrifying. I don't care who you are. That makes your heart skip a beat. You know, it's almost as scary as Pastor Derek in a Ferris wheel. No videos today. If you were here last week, you can appreciate that. But I have good news to share with you that the chances of getting injured on an airplane are about 1 in 1,000,000 having an accident. So everybody can take a deep breath. We're good. But in that rare case, no matter what kind of aircraft you're on, commercial or not, if a pilot is experiencing a problem, there is a shared term that allows all pilots, they all use to signal that they're in distress. And of course, that is, say it with me, Mayday. Mayday, this is an international radio signal used by aircrafts to signal a life-threatening situation. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there have been numerous times as a person and as a mother that I have needed to cry out, Mayday. Like life-threatening situation, like we cannot find the pacifier. This is a crisis. We're down to one diaper. There's no food in the house. We haven't done laundry in 2 weeks. Come on, you got it with me there, ladies. You know, some of you guys, you can chime in. Your kid's about to get their license. Mayday, help. The house looks like a tornado went off. Help, help. That's when I just cry. Need to cry out. The Mayday procedure, this was actually first conceived in the 1920s by a gentleman at an airport in London. And the word, if you speak French, you'll recognize it's very similar to the words in French for help me. So everybody say, help me. There are a lot of folks and many families in our world today that do find themselves in Mayday situations, a place of distress. It can be emotionally, relationally, financially, physically. And distress can come in all shapes and sizes, right? And if we're honest this morning, and we need to be, it's hard being a family today, isn't it? It's difficult. There are a lot of attacks on families. They're coming from different directions in all shapes and sizes. And how many of you want a strong family? Raise your hand. Yes. How many of you want a healthy family? Yes. None of those things that we just said we wanted happened by chance or on accident. They happen because the leaders in the home make a choice to lead and lead well. Everybody say lead well. This is why one of our core values here at Makers is intentional living. Because we want to be known as those who live intentionally, not just as those who live with good intentions. There's a difference. And when a family is in distress, we can't blame the children. It's not the fault of the children. It's not their responsibility to make, create, and sustain a healthy home culture or environment. That's me and you. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, that's our responsibility. That's our role. You know, I don't get in the car with my 9-year-old son, throw him the keys, and say, drive me to the grocery store. Would he love that? Yes. Could he almost see over the wheel? Yes. At 9. But that's not his role or his place, and that would be dangerous. Yes. Neither do I wake up every morning and tell my 9-year-old son, what do you want our day to look like? You set the tone for our family. You make the decisions. That's not his role either. And that could be quite dangerous. Families are meant to have order. Everybody say order. And much of the chaos in our world today is a direct result of the chaos in our family units. Now, does this mean that we have no hope? Absolutely not. And we can't buy into that lie because I know I've been there. Sometimes we just start to feel hopeless. I don't think my family's ever going to get it together. My family's crazy. It's okay. There's a little bit of crazy in every family. So let that be a comforting word to you today. There's a little distress in every home. The same way, though, that things are getting darker in the world today, we must recognize and be encouraged that the light of heaven is increasing. In Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, what? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. See, God wants to release his glory through us and on our families. And these days that we're living in and those to come, I know and I believe will be the greatest days and the most miraculous days our families and our children have ever seen. Amen? Amen. They are a generation of revival. We have to understand this. They are a generation of revival. We are seeing dead things come to life. We're seeing it spiritually. We're seeing it in churches all over, not just in America, all over the world. Revival is happening, and it's happening in our youth. And grown-ups, we've got to jump on board and get with this spirit of revival, because it's exactly what God has ordained for these last days. See, this is what these sons and daughters, God said, I'll pour out my spirit. They are ripping off the umbrellas of religion and tradition. They are opening up their hands and saying, give me it, Lord. Pour it out on me. I want all that you have for me. And that's my cry. It's the cry of my heart. You know, sometimes we have to pray against the spirit of religion in our own selves. Well, this is how I was raised. This is how I grew up. This is how it's always been done. So that doesn't mean God can't do a new thing in a new way. Lord, do it in this house. Do it in our homes and our families, Jesus. Our families, my family, your family, has every opportunity to catch that fire in the spirit of revival and walk in strength over the enemy. Somebody say, victory is mine. Yes, declare that out loud. Victory over the enemy, who in 1 Peter describes him as prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do not be afraid or intimidated by that devil, please. This is what we know about lions. The way to shut up one roaring lion is to get an even bigger lion to start to roar. And you want to know who's bigger and badder than that little devil lion? It is the lion, capital L, of the tribe of Judah. Revelations, it tells us that the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. He has overcome that enemy. We need to let Jesus loose in our lives. That's not the sermon, though, so let's keep going. Praise the Lord that he overcomes and that we overcome through him. We overcome, including in our homes. Let's get back to May Day. Everybody say May Day. Help me get on track. What causes May Day moments in our lives? It's kind of similar to an aircraft. We're going to stick with that analogy. Number one, poor visibility. A lack of vision. Not being able to see. Now, yes, there is a lot of technology depending on the aircraft you're in to help guide you. And when you can't see, to see. But I'm just going to say it. I want my pilot to see. And if I'm in charge, I want to see. At some point, you've got to see when you're flying an aircraft. And when we can't see in our lives, in our families, we start to run into things we're supposed to avoid. A family without vision can have unnecessary collisions and or move off course very quickly. Can be subtle, it can be quick. We've all heard Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. This absolutely applies to our homes and our families as well. It is wise to invest in establishing vision in our homes. Maybe your parents never did that. Maybe you haven't done that yet. It's wise to invest in establishing vision for our homes, for our families. What are our goals as a family? What are our values as a family? What are things we want to steer clear of? What are the non-negotiables? If we don't establish these things, we may not realize it at first, but we can easily, like I said, begin to get off course and eventually find ourselves in a mayday situation. Wait, how did we get here? How did we run into that? Well, we weren't paying attention. We weren't being intentional with our family, our most priceless assignment and role and possession. So it's not just about seeing, it's about paying attention too. It's about looking at your family, checking the gauge. What's the temperature of our relationships? Are we on track? Are we doing what we said we're going to do? Are we valuing what we said we're going to value? The great thing about having family values is that it gives you a baseline to come back to. So when emotions are high and anger or frustration or whatever, hold on. Here's where we land. These things are established. There, I was thinking about, you know, on our phones, there's just about an app for everything. There really is. Like, you can put in your information, all your information, but there is not an app to how to successfully guide our families. There's not a weather app. There's not a navigation app. That is the Word of God. It will always be the Word of God. That is a guide for our lives. The verse says, His word is a lamp unto my feet. It's not just your feet. It's the 2, 4, 6, 8 other feet running around the house with you. They need the Word of God too. They need that to guide them and lead them into paths of righteousness. So the word is important. And then the secret place. What do I mean by that? It's the place where you and God meet. Yes, we meet with God. And as the head of the home, He's the one where we get our vision from. He's the one that directs and guides our paths. He will do it if we go to Him and ask. Matthew 6:33, it says, Seek first the kingdom of God. It's right here on my notes. I'll just take it. Seek first the kingdom of God. We know that scripture. And all else will be added. What are the first three letters of the word seek? S-E-E. See. If we want to see correctly, we've got to seek correctly. It has to happen. And when we see and seek God, He will give us that vision to lead our family. He will. That's His desire and heart for us too. Everybody say, I need vision. Number two, going along with vision, is direction. What can cause a mayday moment for a pilot or us in our lives is we don't know where we're going. I don't even think a plane would get off the ground without its destination in mind. What is our destination? This is an easy one. I'm going to give you the answer. Write it down. Our destination is heaven. Everybody say heaven. You're like, that was too easy. I thought it was a little more complicated. No, it's heaven. That is our destination. That's where we want to be one day. That's where we all want to land our planes, spiritually speaking. And where we invest our time and the decisions that we make right now in our homes will point us and move us in that direction, or they will direct us away. So, you know, we can say, yes, we are a family headed to heaven, where peace, love, joy, kindness, purity, righteousness, all the wonderful things of God, that's our family. But here's a bunch of junk that I'm going to lend into my home, and we're going to watch this and listen to this and talk like this and read this and joke like this, and maybe we'll remember to pray over at least one meal a day, but we are on our way to heaven. That's a little sarcasm there. But we have to understand it matters what we allow in our homes and the choices we make with our families, with our time, with everything in our lives. If heaven is our destination, then how we live every single day should reflect that destination and point our families to heaven. Yes, that's got to be our goal. A couple weeks ago, I was speaking with an older gentleman who about the academy that we're starting in the fall, and unprompted, he asked me about it, and then he just wanted to offer this thought. Keep in mind, he's retired. He was a chemist. And he said to me, you know, Melissa, there's a lot of things that I've done and I could have done in my life. He said, but the older I get, the more I realize that nothing is more important than my walk with the Lord. And I was like, thank you for sharing that with me. Nothing's more important than our walk with the Lord. We can do so many things. We can be so successful. We can gain the world. Pastor Derek and I were talking on our way in this morning, and I said, it's so amazing over the past decade how what we thought was important and what we valued has shifted. And now it is, okay, what is important to God? What does He want for our children? Not what do we want? The heart of a man plans his way, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. I can't see next year. I can't see next decade, but He can. So I want Him directing the steps of my children, our home, our family, The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:4. The way to go, I'm sure we can all agree, is heaven. So our training, our investment, our discipline, our correction must have that destination in mind. Remember this, parents, the goal is not to raise a good kid. It's to raise a godly kid. That's not our goal, to raise a good child. It's to raise a godly child. So the culture and the standards of this world cannot be where we get our guide from. Pastor Derek said this. I can't take it. It sounds like something he'd say. He said, we got a whole world being led by Siri, and we needed to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Yes. The culture cannot be our GPS. And if we will stop, we need to examine our values, our actions, our attitudes. If they reflect more of the people who are not serving Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we need to hit the brakes and reevaluate for a moment. We need to pray and ask God to help us and give us wisdom and lead us how we are to live. So we need vision. We need direction. You know, those are factors that honestly we have control over. We make decisions. Are we going to do that? Are we going to walk in that way? And we like control, so that's comforting, right? But then there are other factors that we don't have control over that can cause a mayday situation. So number three, bad weather. We cannot control the weather, can we? You live in Cincinnati, you know it. We cannot. You never know what you're going to get. When storms arise, there are just some storms that a plane can't get out of, no matter how hard they try. And there are just some storms that families cannot avoid, no matter how hard we try. When a loss occurs, when a sudden illness or sickness that caught you off guard, when you're in an unexpected or difficult situation, when it feels like lightning and wind and rain and hail are just all pounding the aircraft. Anyone ever been in a storm, a real storm in your life? Those are times when we legitimately cannot see who, what, when, where, why. And panic and fear can start to set in. But we've got to hold on. We've got to hold on. And if you're in a storm right now, hold on. Take a minute. Take a breath. We cannot, just because there's a storm coming doesn't mean you've been deserted. It doesn't mean you've been abandoned. And it doesn't even mean you're off course. The truth is, sometimes in those storms, it's not so much about you seeing and understanding as it is about you trusting and standing firm on the truth that you already know. Yeah. We don't deviate from the truth just because a hard time comes. We don't give up and allow the storm to start to dictate and alter the path that we know God has us on for our family. So we may need to slow our roll for a minute or two or three. That's okay. But mom and dad, you cannot let that storm knock you out for good. You have got to get up. You got to get back on course and keep moving your family in the right and righteous direction. Somebody say amen. Having a Christ-centered family does not mean that storms won't come, but it does mean that there is security in every storm. We do have a safe place. Matthew 7, Jesus is talking. You know the parable. The wise man built his house upon the... And when the storm clouds came and the wind, the house stood strong, even in the storm, because it was built on the rock. Who is the rock? It is Jesus. And most of you, many of you in this room right here, right now, are building the foundation of your home on Christ. And I commend you and I honor you for that, because it's the most important thing you will do in your lives and in your home, is build that foundation on Jesus Christ. Foundation matters. And how do we build a strong home? It is one brick at a time. One brick at a time builds a strong home. One prayer at a time. One apology at a time. One act of service. One trip to church. One offering. One display of self-control. One whatever at a time, over and over, we choose righteousness and we choose Jesus. Even when it hurts, even when it's not the easy choice, even when it makes us uncomfortable, those bricks must be secure. And our choices are those bricks. I'm going to give you another shout out. Pastor Derek always says, we're not born winners or losers, we're born choosers. We have a choice, and the choices are the bricks that build our home. So when we choose Jesus, thank you, Jesus, we will be able to outlast the storm. We will. Thank you, Jesus. He is a firm foundation. Our families can outlast those storms. So vision, direction, storms can all cause mayday situations, and I've got three more for you. I'm going to go through them faster than you can build a paper airplane. That's not true. The fourth thing that can cause distress in our families is when the enemy attacks. Enemy attacks that try to break you and destroy you. Now, we're not just talking, they did not like my post on Facebook. I really thought they would. That's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about real enemy attacks. Remember this, no matter in what form it comes through or who it comes through, the enemy against yourself and your family is not a person. It's spiritual. Everybody say, it is spiritual. It is. It is. There's that saying, it's not personal, it's business. It's not personal, it's spiritual. It is from the enemy. Ephesians 6:10 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers and hosts. Spiritual warfare is more real and more active than we often realize. Especially for families who are striving to put God first. So the question is, it's real. I'm under attack. Do I just let the enemy, you know, hit me with his best shot? Fire away. Should we sing the song? No, that's not what we do. We fight back. We need to drop some truth bombs on the enemy, that irritating, annoying, can't figure out how defeated he is devil. That's how I feel about him. I don't know about you. How defeated he is. How do we overcome the enemy? With the truth, with the word. Revelation 12, it says, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Not the thought of our testimony, the word, spoken word. See, Jesus, he is the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. He's the perfect, spotless Lamb. He did his part. He shed his blood once and for all. It does not need to be shed again. So the blood of the Lamb has been shed. Now is our part, the word of our testimony. And it's not just a one-time testimony, I hate to tell you. We're going to continue to keep overcoming the enemy as we continue to use the word and testify of God's goodness. So we don't stop speaking of his goodness. We don't stop praising him for his faithfulness. We outlast the enemy with our daily declarations of God's love, his blessing, his provision, his promises. Yes and amen. We overcome with our words. Speaking the truth, the word is, it's so important. Don't ever forget the power of your words over your family. I think that's something that we forget sometimes. But the power of life and death is truly in our tongues. It's in our words. Your words are life and death, and it matters what you say. Why? It has everything to do with spiritual warfare. And that's the part, I think if we would remember, we would pay more attention to what we say. It has everything to do with spiritual warfare. How's that? Your words will initiate and release the angels of heaven to fight on your behalf and on your children and for your family. Or they will empower demonic forces to attack and gain ground. Pastor Melissa, why'd you have to go there? This is not a pretty Mother's Day message. No, it is not. But that's not what the church needs today, another pretty message. We need powerful families. We need spirit-filled, powerful families who will not just read the word, but they'll eat the word, and then they'll live the word, and they'll speak the word, and then they're going to show other people, look, this is what it's like. You can overcome. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to crash and burn. There is a way to overcome the enemy, and our words matter. You will never have a family or a marriage that rises above the level of your speech. We will never have a family or a marriage that rises above the level of our speech. What are we saying? Our words are seeds. They are initiators. They are power. Remember this, the enemy cannot read our minds, okay? The enemy cannot read our minds. Only God can do that. But when we speak those things, that death, that negativity, that da-da-da-da-da, whatever, there are literally enemy spirits. Their only purpose of existence is to take what you say and to try to make it come to pass. That's all they've got to do. But then on the other hand, the Word of God tells us that there are angels here right now, everywhere we go, waiting for the assignment to be given, waiting for the Word of God to be spoken out of your mouth, and they will fulfill the Word of God spoken. So that's a whole other thing we don't have time for today, but we may not be able to avoid every enemy attack, but we absolutely do not need to lay down and defeat. And let me just say this, that cannot be an option any longer. We're a family and we are an army. We can't, look at your neighbor, say, it's not an option. It's not an option to quit. That's like looking at your kids when they ask for ice cream at 10 a.m. in the morning. That's not an option. It's not an option. Are you crazy? I don't say that because that's death. Yeah, I don't ever call my kids crazy. Silly. No. I'm just kidding. If you call your kids crazy, whatever. Okay. But my point is, it's not an option to lay down and defeat anymore. Things are getting too real, church. The spiritual warfare is getting too hot. We have got to stand guard in our position. I cannot take a day off of my spiritual post as a mother because I'm the gatekeeper. Feel that, mom and dad. You're the gatekeeper. You determine what comes in and what goes out. And I can't take a day off and say, today, come on in. I'm not really going to pay attention. Do whatever you want. And just let the enemy come in and have his way with my kids. That's not an option. And there will be, see, we have a responsibility. If you have a child, you have a great, amazing responsibility. And one day we will stand before God and we will be held accountable for what we have done with that responsibility that the Lord allowed us to have. And that's when I say, Mayday, help me, God. Help me, Lord. Enemy attacks can force a Mayday situation. The last two, number five, malfunction. Plane starts to break down. Yep, Mayday. The engine's going. The landing gears are out. What does this look like in a family? It's the enemy within. It's division within our own home. Jesus said in Matthew 12, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Well, if I'm the devil, I want to destroy the family. I'm just going to bring division. That's what I'll do because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And it is about time that some parents and leaders in the home stand up and say, enough is enough. That spirit of anger and division is not going to destroy or tear apart my family one day longer. That's called taking authority. Taking authority. We have authority in the name of Jesus. That division and fighting, it's internally destroying the family unit from within, and you can take authority over that in Jesus' name. We got to uproot some of these generational curses of competition and comparison. That's not God. That's not, we've got to be a united front. We've got to fight for each other and stop fighting with each other. Better write that down. Put that on the microwave so everybody sees it. Is having the last word really worth it? Is making sure everyone knows that you're right and getting your way really worth the collateral damage it causes? No. That attitude of it's my way or the highway that just causes a lot of problems in homes, that is not kingdom. If we want to have a kingdom culture in our home, it's not my way, it's not your way, it's his way. And we can all agree on that. Whether we like it or not, whether you like it or not, you are family. So we've got to stop acting like enemies, and we've got to start working as a unit, because believe it or not, God has put you together to do something great for his kingdom. There is something that we sing about, we read about, the way it says, I don't think the Bible says it exactly like this, but it has it in it, the idea that God takes what the enemy meant for evil and he works it for good. We love that. We love that. We've got to understand that the devil is a copycat. He's not a creator. He's a copycat. So he's like, well, if God takes everything, if the enemy meet, whoa, maybe I should have skipped this part. No, it's important. The enemy's like, well, if God works for good what I meant for evil, then I'm going to work for evil what God means for good. Did everybody follow that? Did we have a slide for that? No, sorry. So what he does, let me just break it down, is he, seeing our greatest gifts and blessings from God, instead of those being good, he tries to work them for evil. So what is a blessing now is a burden. What is precious? What is sanctified? What is special becomes something we despise and resent. That's what the enemy does. He tries to turn it and work it against us. Marriage relationships, sibling relationships, parent and child relationships. We've got to recognize this, that this is what's happening, and we've got to put a stop to it. Don't despise and reject the greatest gifts God has given you. Don't allow bitterness and resentment and frustration to replace the precious blessings God has entrusted you with. Whoever they are, recognize it and put a stop to it. All right, last thing, number 6, low fuel. If a plane is not landing yet and that low fuel signal comes on, that's a mayday situation. They're going to need to land immediately. For our families, for parents, it's fatigue. You're tired. You're running out of fuel. I've been there. And those can be very hard moments. They can be very difficult seasons. And Jesus knew this. He described it in Matthew 11:28 as weary and tired, or burnt out, or just hitting E. It happens to all of us, church. It does. If you're weary today, it happens to all of us. And that's why the Word of God addresses fatigue. It addresses weariness. And I'll say this, sometimes it's a spiritual issue that's draining us. Have we been waiting on the Lord? The Word of God, wait on the Lord and he will renew your strength. Have we been waiting on the Lord? Have we been resting in him? Have we been casting our cares upon him? Have we been getting into his presence? Because in his presence, there's strength, there's refreshment. Are we feasting on his word? Because that's our nourishment, that's our meat. the praise team and I have been talking as we meet on Thursday nights. We can't be an army that just sings. We've got to have the word. Can you imagine an army going into battle who have not eaten for days or weeks? Without the word, we are weak. Without the word, we grow weary and tired. So sometimes fatigue comes as a spiritual issue. Other times it's a very practical issue. And we need the Lord to give us wisdom to know how to spend our time and our energy that we have. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, do I need to rearrange some things in my life? Are my priorities in order? Am I doing too much? Am I not taking time to fill up? We take time every morning to fill up our coffee cups. Got a witness back there. Well, what about our hearts? Are we using our energy on things that don't matter? Are you sleeping? Are you going to bed? Are you taking care of yourself physically, your health? See, if you find yourself constantly worn out, whether it is spiritually, mentally, physically, it will eventually lead to a very real moment of distress where you just can't go anymore. We don't want to get to that place in our lives. And if we're there, we want to get out of those things. We can't ignore the low fuel signal on the dashboard. We've got to fill up no matter how much it costs. Maybe it's $4.15 a gallon. It costs more than ever to fill up right now. And it kind of feels that way spiritually too, doesn't it? It takes more than ever to get there and fill up, to get into his presence and fill up. There's a lot more sacrifice involved. But the price that we would pay would be far greater to not fill up than to actually stop and take that time and get into his presence and read his word. It's worth the extra, amen? And where do we get refilled and refreshed? Somebody say, Jesus. I feel refreshed when I just say his name. He said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will think about giving you rest. No, he said, I will give you rest. Come to me. We can find rest, refreshment, and renewing, and there's so much more we can talk on this subject. There's just not time today, but the Cliff Note version is this. We've got to stop and fill up our tanks before we run out. We don't have to mess up the mission of our family. These six things that we've discussed today, they can happen. Some of them you and I can control in our families and in our lives. And then sometimes Mayday moments are unavoidable. I mean, think about this. Every year there are 31 days in May. So we're guaranteed at least 31 Maydays. You get that later. And we can be ready for these moments. Even if they catch us off guard, we can be ready for these moments. And we need to be. We can be. As families built on Christ, we can handle these hard times. So this is what I want to share in closing. If a pilot finds himself in distress and he declares, Mayday, I need help, an emergency chain of events is initiated by the ATC. Controllers will begin to assist that pilot to guide them and get that aircraft safely landed. Can you see where we're headed with this? Once the call is made for help, help comes. And it is time, church, for some mothers to throw up their hands and cry out, Mayday. It is time for some fathers to fall on your knees and cry out, Mayday, help me, Lord. We've got to know when it is time to call in some assistance. And I will say that it is past time that the church calls on the controller, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the one who will lead and guide us into all truth. It's past time that we give him control and keep giving him control. Keep the control in his hands. Everyone stand with me, please. When the distress signal is declared, assistance comes. And our incredible, loving, gracious God promises to guide us through those crisis moments, He alone can give us strength, wisdom, discernment, ideas, creativity, how to move, how to go, where to. That comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. When God created a family, the devil devised a plan to destroy it, but God did not leave His family without hope. He didn't leave us to fend by ourselves, so you don't have to. We don't have to do that. We've got an option. We've got a place to run. We've got a place to ask for help in time of need. You think about King David in the Old Testament. Because of his heart, he had so much favor on his family that literally the Lord was like, that's the family I'm going to bring my son into, that lineage to lead to Jesus Christ. David had distress moments. He had mayday moments. And we can have some insight into how he handled them. Look at this in Psalm 18:6. David said, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. I prayed to my God for help. That's what David did, and that's what we can do too. We can cry out to God for help. You don't have to put on a parachute and jump and just hope things work out. How do I know God will save me? That's His promise. You can see that in verse 3 of that same chapter. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and He what? He saved me. He saved me. In your distress, cry out to the Lord, and He will save you. There is a God who will fight this battle with you and for you. Look at Psalm 37:14. It says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and He delivers them out of all of their trouble. That's what God will do. So my question today for you, mom, dad, anybody here, what is your trouble? What is your distress? What is the unknown? What's the enemy throwing at you right now? Whatever it is, you can throw your hands in the air and you can cry out, Mayday, help me, Lord. I need you. We're not meant to do this by ourselves. You think about Peter in the New Testament where there was a storm and he stepped out of the boat and he was rocking that storm, literally walking on water until he took Jesus out of the equation. He took his eyes off Jesus, and that's when the storm overwhelmed him and he started to fall. Jesus is supposed to be with us, working with us. We're supposed to be depending on Him, crying out. Stop holding on for dear life and start crying out to the one who gives you life, who is life. There are so many reasons we can give and excuses we can make, been there, why we don't ask for help and why we don't cry out to God. Whether you're afraid to, whether it's pride or it's not my style, you know, understand those are all traps from that stupid enemy we've been talking about to keep you from rising up in victory, to keep you trapped right where you are in distress. You know, He knows the Word of God. He knows that if He can just keep our mouths shut, that He knows what happens when we cry out. Look at this, Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Psalm 56:9. When I cry to You, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know. Psalm 107:6. Then they cried to the Lord for their trouble, and He delivered them out of all of their distresses. Something happens when we cry out to the Lord. Something moves. Something breaks. It's in the spirit. You might not see it, but I'm telling you, when you cry out to God, He hears your cry, and He answers. Isaiah 41:10, it says, I will strengthen you, the Lord says. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So what's the format for a Mayday call? Check this out. When a pilot calls Mayday, he says it three times. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. They're supposed to say it three times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then he needs to say His name, the aircraft type and the nature of his emergency, and he's got to make his request known. So in order for help to come, there's got to be a cry and there's got to be a request made. Whether your child is in a crib right now, walking around your house, or in a different state, whether your Mayday situation is for your family or for another reason, here's our plan of attack. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Jesus, 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 here I am. I need you. I am the mom of Brennan and Madeline Wooten. I am in distress. I don't know what to do. I'm running low on fuel. Whatever it is, this is where our cry goes. We cry out to the Lord. Help comes when the cry and request is made. Everybody, would you just close your eyes?